You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchen. It's Thursday, July 3rd. Clatsop County could soon see an increase to its transient lodging tax rate after a bill that would have increased spending flexibility died in the state legislature last week. Jurisdictions across Oregon have collected lodging taxes for decades, but in 2003, the state legislature imposed a statewide ratio requiring at least 70% of revenues to go to tourism promotion and tourism-related facilities. The remaining 30% could be spent at each jurisdiction's discretion. In recent years, counties along the coast, including Clatsop County, have pushed for flexibility on how they spend revenues from local lodging taxes. In Tillamook County, voters narrowly shot down an increase to the transient lodging tax in the recent May election. Many argue that the 30% discretionary spending has not been enough to address tourism-related impacts on critical infrastructure and public safety during peak tourism seasons. Oregon House Bill 3556, whose chief sponsors included State Representative Cyrus Javity and State Senator Suzanne Weber, proposed a definition change to the existing law. Clatsop County officials were hopeful that the bill could help address some of the limitations surrounding the transient lodging tax. The bill got an initial hearing, but never made it out of committee due to concerns that the guardrails around the bill were not clear. In response, legislators brought back a similar bill and had four closed-door conversations with the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association and other stakeholders, but that bill also eventually died. Javity says the hope is to pick up the conversation again during the short legislative session next year. He also says the second bill did gain traction. Clatsop County commissioners are expected to vote later this month on ordinance amendments that would increase the countywide lodging tax rate from 1% to 3%. That increase would bring in an estimated $1.4 million in additional discretionary revenue for the county. County Manager Don Boone says that money would be spent on public safety. Boone also says the county will be involved in conversations with the tourism industry, but that many of the county's highest needs, like public safety, cannot be covered by tourism dollars under the existing framework. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Columbia County announced on Tuesday that it will need to use furlough days for its workers to make up for budget shortfalls this fiscal year. Ryan Haas reports.
The furloughs will affect many county departments, but not all of them. Columbia County says it will continue to operate the Sheriff's Office and the Public Works Department without interruption in the coming year. But other government workers and services will see periodic closures. County offices like the courthouse and the John Gumb Building will be closed on furlough days. The county expects that will happen 9 times between next month and June of next year. An analysis earlier this year by OPB found 60% of counties in Oregon face some type of budget shortfall this year, largely because property taxes haven't kept up with costs. Columbia County officials cited, quote, steep declines in federal funding as a reason for its current budget woes. I'm Ryan Haas reporting.
A 37-year-old man from Damascus, Oregon, has been sentenced to 28 years in prison after opening fire on Tillamook law enforcement last year in a public parking lot. Joey Rodriguez pled guilty last month to multiple charges that included 3 counts of attempted aggravated murder. Back in June of 2024, officers attempted to pull over Rodriguez as he was driving southbound on Highway 101. Rodriguez turned into the Tillamook Fred Meyer parking lot and stopped, but as officers approached his vehicle, Rodriguez opened fire, striking the front of one patrol vehicle. Rodriguez then fled, leading law enforcement on a high-speed pursuit. 2 officers from the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office were able to successfully deploy spike strips and disable the vehicle. Rodriguez was then taken into custody without further incident. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Two Oregon bills aim to create more housing options for seniors and people with disabilities. Jefferson Public Radio's Jane Vaughn reports that with rents increasing and Social Security not keeping pace, many older adults are being priced out of their homes.
One bill allocates $3 million to help keep seniors and people with disabilities in their homes. That might involve installing a ramp or grab bars for stability. The second bill sets aside $24 million to incentivize housing development, specifically for seniors and people with disabilities. State Representative Pam Marsh sponsored both bills and says they're a good start to addressing a lack of housing.
What we're trying to do here with this initiative is just get the work started. And by putting some money into technical assistance and education to help communities, organizations really understand what's happening here and how to build units to work for seniors. It's the start. It's not the checkoff.
People over 50 are most likely to spend more than half of their income on rent. Governor Tina Kotek is expected to sign both bills into law. I'm Jane Vaughn reporting.
Participants in Oregon's psilocybin therapy program appear to be disproportionately wealthy, according to new state data. KLCC's Nathan Wilk reports.
Oregon Psilocybin Services says providers saw more than 1,500 clients in the first quarter of this year. And out of those who disclosed their income, the majority had salaries over $95,000. Heidi Pendergast with the nonprofit Healing Advocacy Fund says psilocybin treatment can commonly cost $1,200 to $3,000. And she says most insurance doesn't cover the treatment. But Pendergast believes Oregon's program could help change that.
Demonstrating safety and efficacy and some of the research that's starting to happen will help eventually contribute to the rescheduling of psilocybin. And once we have that, that's where we're really going to see more equity in terms of people being able to access that.
Psilocybin is currently a Schedule I drug, meaning it has no federally recognized medical uses. This is Nathan Wilk reporting.
Government officials across Oregon are scrambling this week after legislators failed to pass the Democratic Party's transportation bill. OPB's Bryce Dole has more.
The bill aimed to fill a budget gap at the Oregon Department of Transportation and fund the state's aging bridges and roads. But now, ODOT says it will need to lay off more than 600 people by the end of the month. The city of Portland says dozens of jobs are at risk, and county road departments expect delays and increased costs for infrastructure projects. Mallory Roberts is the legislative affairs director for the Association of Oregon Counties.
The failure of a transportation package probably means further cuts in some counties in particular. So those are the folks that are out filling potholes, doing vegetation maintenance, doing traffic control, storm response.
Governor Tina Kotek has indicated she may call lawmakers into a special session to try and find a new solution. I'm Bryce Dole reporting.
The Lane Regional Air Protection Agency has some recommendations as Oregonians head into the heat of summer and the risk of wildfire smoke increases. It's important to keep indoor air as clean as possible, says Public Affairs Manager Matt Sorensen. He encourages the purchase of an indoor air purifier.
Because once the outdoor air is poor, it's that much more important that you protect your indoor airspace, and that's something that's going to happen year-round. It can help with allergies. At wintertime with wood smoke, wood stove smoke, and in the summer with wildfires.
Sorensen also suggests becoming familiar with looking at local air quality index numbers and checking the AQI as a daily routine. Some sources of air quality data include Purple Air and airnow.gov. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.